Open up to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is the seventh part in this series on eternal security. And what we have done so far, we have looked in the book of Hebrews, we've looked in Galatians, Romans, Colossians, and we have seen some very strong warnings to the body of Christ concerning this issue of eternal security, relative to, is it possible that a Christian could miss heaven? And this kind of a series can be a real challenge to the theology of a lot of people, and I can fully relate to that, because years ago, when God dealt with me about this, it was a real challenge to my theology because of how I had been raised. But nevertheless, we cannot deny what we're seeing in Scripture. And so God, He's warning us. I mean, it's not just that He's saying, okay, yeah, you could blow it, but He's saying, not only could you blow it, but I'm going to lay it out plain and simple to you. What could happen that could cause you to blow it? And if you remember, to this point, what we've seen in Scripture, if you want to talk percentages, the greatest percentage of the warning deals with false doctrine. Not with acts of sin, but with false doctrine. Now, the sin is there too. We know that. We've seen that. But the biggest warning has to do with wrong doctrine. Teaching that could point people in a direction away from the Lord. Now, I'm not going to go back and do much review at all tonight. We're just going to go ahead and get right into this. And we're going to take a look at another book here in the New Testament. It's amazing how that these warnings are not just in one or two books, but they are sprinkled throughout the entire New Testament. Maybe not in every single book of the New Testament, but they're sprinkled throughout the New Testament. Now, let me show one to you. We're going to start with a verse, and then we're going to back up in the chapter to get an idea of what this verse is talking about. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now, I've been on both sides of the fence. I've been on the side of the fence that says, once saved, always saved. And I've been on the side of the fence that says, you know, you sneeze the wrong way and you missed out with God. You got to get born again again. So I've heard both parts of this, both sides of this. And this verse 17 was used by the groups that teach, you know, you lay out from church on a Sunday and you've lost out with God. You're going to hell. You need to make it right and come to the altar again and all this. Well, this verse 17 was used by those groups relative to the habits of what a lot of people have. For example, you know, if any man defile the temple of God, God's going to destroy him. You know, don't you know that you are the temple of God? Well, what they would do is teach that this defiling has to do with smoking and drinking and things like that. And primarily smoking and drinking. And, you know, they might throw in some chewing as well. I don't know. But primarily the smoking and the drinking. And they would say, you're defiling the temple of God. You know, you're destroying your body. And God is going to destroy you. You know, you better stop it and all this other. You can't get to heaven, you know, smelling like you've been to hell. And on it would go. Well, I'll admit that when I first heard that relative to this verse, I paused for a moment and looked at it and thought, well, yeah, I mean, we are the temple, but something about what they're saying concerning this verse just doesn't seem to make sense. I mean, something doesn't seem right. Well, you cannot teach what I just explained to you and make it fit with this verse. In other words, you can't tell somebody that smoking and drinking is what Paul is talking about here in this verse 17. So let's go back up to chapter 3, verse 1. And work our way in the direction of verse 17 and get an idea of what's going on here. Now, Paul, as you know, 1 Corinthians is a book of rebuke, reproof, and correction because there was a mess going on in Corinth. Well, in chapter 3, we are continuing this rebuke and this correction. And Paul says, we'll begin in verse 1. Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you, or speak unto you as unto spiritual, or as unto spiritually mature people, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" Now we'll stop right there for a moment. In verse 3, he says, there are divisions among you. Now this word divisions, it comes from a Greek word, dikostasia. And here's what it means. It means divisions. But relative to the way it's used here or in the context, we could expand or paraphrase, maybe it's a better word, the definition of this word, divisions among a group of people based upon opinions and mindset. Divisions among a group of people based upon opinions and mindset. Well, how did they get to those kinds of divisions? The answer is in verse 4. "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" Now, it wasn't just a matter of Paul or Apollos. There were other people involved in this. In other words, here's what was going on. They had within their group, let's just say it this way, they had within their church different groups of people. And each group had their favorite preacher. All right? Now, this isn't necessarily exactly the way it was, because it could have been favorite teacher, or each group looked to one individual and the theology of that particular individual, and that's who they favored. So it was not just Apollos or Paul. There were other people there as well. And Paul talks about this over in, chapter 11, I believe it is, where he talks about that there are people among you who want to make themselves manifest before you and be exalted in your eyes and so forth. So there were certain people within this particular church that had followers, and those followers followed those people based upon the doctrine or the teaching that those people presented. So this word divisions, it wasn't just a matter of you are divided as a group of people, but now listen closely to this. This word divisions used here is also saying you are divided in what you believe. And this is very important. You are divided because of what you believe. Now, let's pick up here in verse 5. Paul says, "Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos?" Or he could have said, "Who is Paul, Apollos, and all the rest of these people that you're following? Who are we?" He says, "Who then is Paul, who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed?" Or in other words, we're the ones that we came in and we preached and we led you to Jesus, even as the Lord gave to every man. "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Or, "You're not going to grow spiritually because of what man can give you. You're only going to grow spiritually because of what you get from God." That's maybe a different way of putting that. "So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." I'll stop right there and let me just kind of summarize the essence of what he's saying. It's not about us, guys. It's all about God. And when it comes to what's really happening, the grand scheme of things, all of us have a role to play in this. But ultimately, our growth depends upon what we're doing in our relationship with God. So that's kind of a different way to summarize what he's saying here. Now let's pick up in verse 10. He says, let's back up and read verse 9 and lead into verse 10. "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now let's back up here and look. He says, you're God's building in verse 9. In verse 10, he says, look, I'm a wise master builder, laid a foundation, somebody else is building thereupon. However, let me warn you. Take heed how you build upon this foundation. Or, maybe another way to put this is, you better take heed to what it is you're building your spiritual life with. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. In other words, it all starts here with Jesus. But once it starts with Jesus, you better watch out how you build on that foundation of Jesus Christ. Let's look on further here. I'll show you this. He says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now let's look at this. He's saying here in verse 10, take heed how you build upon the foundation. All right, now let's think of it another way. If Jesus Christ is where I start, what is the very basic thing that we receive from Jesus Christ? Born again, right? I mean, that is the basic thing we receive from Him. And then it goes beyond that. I taught a series a while back entitled, I'm Born Again and I'm Saved. And I explained the difference in that series between what it means to be born again and what it means to be saved. That salvation is like a benefits package to being born again. And born again, you know, is included in the very thing of salvation. But born again is simply sin nature removed, and in its place we receive the nature and the life of God. In our spirit, we no longer have a dead sin nature. We now have the life of nature, or the life nature that comes from God. So, once that starts with Jesus, as we build ourselves spiritually, Paul is saying, watch out how you do this. Take heed what you put your trust in, or what you put your faith in, or what you're building your life on. Remember when Jesus was talking about, he gave the example of two men. The one built his house upon the sand, and the storm came and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. Another man built his house upon the rocks, and storms came, but the house stood because it was built upon the rock. Well, the rock in that story is the sayings of Jesus. They're His teachings. That rock is what Jesus has taught. So therefore, when Paul is talking about this, about us starting with the foundation of Jesus Christ, and then he says, but you better watch out how you build upon that foundation. Have you ever, anybody here ever played with Legos? If you've got grandkids, you know, you probably have. And I remember when I was a kid, man, I loved Legos. I thought they were the coolest thing. And don't tell anybody, but I still think they're the coolest thing in the world. And the grandson has it, and I enjoy it when he comes over and we sit down and we play at the Legos. Because, you know, you can, like, snap those things together and build all kinds of stuff. But you know what? If you take the Legos, and you start with one block on the bottom, and then you put another block on top of it, just like one little peg to the right, and then you put another block on top of that one peg to the right. Well, eventually what's going to happen, you're going to have pegs here that are not even lined up with the foundational peg. Are you with me? And what's going to happen? Kaplunk, it falls over, right? All right, now Paul is saying, look, you've started off on the foundation of Jesus Christ. However, you better take heed how you build on that foundation. If now, just to kind of throw this out, if He's the foundation, and He's the one from whom we have received this born-again life, then doesn't it stand to reason we need to go to Him to receive what's necessary to build on that foundation? Okay, now, let's look. He says, Jesus Christ, verse 11, is the foundation. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, Or another way to put it, if anyone builds upon your born-again life, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. All right? Before whom is it going to be made manifest? The Lord. Okay? It'll be made manifest before Him. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Praise God! I want the reward. That sounds good to me. However, the next verse says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So, God, through Paul, is warning us. Now, let me just kind of give you a variation on the theme. And I'm just using this for illustration, okay? Now, if any man build, verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, a Baptist doctrine, a Nazarene doctrine, a Methodist doctrine, an Assemblies of God doctrine, a Church of God doctrine, or a Lutheran doctrine, every man's word shall be made manifest. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you follow this? In other words, he said, take heed how you build upon the foundation. What you build upon that foundation, notice it's not the foundation that's going to be tried with fire. It's what you're building on that foundation. Are you with me? So he says, look, the day's going to come. You're going to stand before me. And the holiness, or the fire of my holiness, is going to try this building that has taken place. And man, when that holiness, when the purity of my truth is released against this stuff, there's going to be a purging. And notice it says here that his work shall be made manifest. In other words, while he's here, it's very possible for that which is going to be burned up with fire to not be manifest to some people. In other words, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Bob, I am of Joe, and if Joe is giving wrong doctrine, there may be some people not be able to pick up on it. You follow me here? Now, he says, it's going to be revealed. And the fire is going to try every man's work of what sort it is. If his work abides, which he's built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if it's burned, he's going to suffer loss. Okay? What is he going to lose? His reward. He's going to lose his reward. Now, I don't like that. I don't want to lose reward. I want rewards. What are the rewards? Quite frankly, I don't know the fullness of what the rewards are. I'll just be honest with you. I do not know what all that means. But it's a good word. And I want it. And I want all I can get of it. But he says here, the fire is going to hit it. And when it does, look, if it burns up, you're going to suffer loss. At least you are going to make it. But your doctrine won't. You'll make it, but it won't. And if it doesn't get burned up, well, praise God, you get a reward. But it is going to be tried. And he says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, to this point, the only thing that we need to be concerned about is how far off to the right our Legos are hanging. Okay? But now look at what he says. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Notice in these two verses, there is no reference of a reward of any kind. Notice in these two verses that there's no reference to your works being tried with fire. Notice in these two verses there is no reference to anybody being saved. Do you see this? Now, First off, verse 16, where it says, you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. That word Spirit should not be capital S. He's not talking about the Holy Ghost. He is talking about being born again. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the life of God dwells within your temple? This temple that he's making reference to is not your physical body. This temple he's talking about is your spirit man. Now keep your place right here in 1 Corinthians. I want to show you a verse to illustrate. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And look at verse number 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. But the first part of this, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. Now turn back over to 1 Corinthians. He says, do you not understand that you are the temple of God and that the life of God dwells in you? Or another way to put this is, your spirit no longer has a sin nature. You've been born again. You have the life and the nature of God. You are now the temple of God, or the temple of His life. Now, looking here at this word temple, he says, don't you understand that you are the temple of God? Now back up to verse 9. It says, we're laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's what? Building. Paul is using the concept of construction here to try to get across a point. He says, you're the temple of God. All right. As the temple of God, we are His building. Now think in terms, remember what we read over there in Peter about being the house. Think in terms of the construction of a house and how that a foundation is laid and then you build on that foundation to end up with a dwelling place. Correct? Okay, we are God's building. God is a spirit. And so spiritually speaking, the only way that He can dwell in us by virtue of His life is in the area of our spirit. Now God physically doesn't climb on the inside of us. We understand that. But from a spiritual standpoint, our spirit has been born again, sin nature removed, the life and the nature of God Himself has been implanted on the inside of us. He says, you are God's building. Now look here. You're His building, and in verse 11, He tells you what is the foundation of your building. Jesus Christ. Okay? It all starts with being born again, your faith in Jesus. Then in verse 10, Paul identifies himself as a master builder. Now, have you ever, those of you that are in the construction world or you're familiar with it, there is a difference between a carpenter and a master carpenter. Trust me. There's a difference between a plumber and a master plumber. And there is a difference between an electrician and a master electrician. You're better off to have the master plumber, master carpenter, master electrician working on your house, so that when you move in, you can be pretty confident that you're not going to have a flood, a fire, or collapse. Amen. So, Paul says, I am a wise master builder. Now, when you read some of the things that Paul writes, if you don't watch out, it can come across as being kind of arrogant. But one of the things that I have discovered through the writings of Paul, this man was simply confident in who he was in Christ. That's all it is. And because of that, he knew what he was saying was true. And he knew that he was teaching truth. And so Paul says, look, I introduced you to Jesus Christ. I led you to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And I am a master builder. Meaning, I can give you truth. I can provide for you whatever it is that you need so that you can take what I give you, use it, apply it to your life, and grow spiritually. He says, I'm a master builder, but let every man take heed how he builds upon this foundation. In other words, I'm not going to be around you all the time, and there comes a point in time, you guys are going to have to grow on your own. He's already referred to this in verses 1 and 2. He says, I'd like to teach you spiritual things, however, you're still spiritual babes, and I can't give you meat. I have to give you milk, because, you know, you're not ready for it yet. You weren't before, and you still aren't. So, you guys are going to have to make some changes in your life, right? And let's look back here in this now. And so he says, look, Jesus is the foundation. I'm a master builder, but boy, you better watch out how you build upon this. Or another way to say this could be, you better watch out whose teaching you use to build your spiritual house. I'm a master builder. You better watch out, though. You better take heed. And in verses 11 through 15, what he's talking about, in essence, is somebody, two people, but one of those people, you've done a lousy job building your house. You've used faulty building materials, or another way to say it is, you have built your spiritual house with faulty doctrine. And it might look good on the outside, but the day's coming, it's going to be revealed, tried by fire, and the faulty doctrine is going to fall apart, or it's going to be burned up. Now, think about this as it relates to churches. You and I both have seen some of the most beautiful church buildings in the world. I'm talking some gorgeous places. And I'm not talking just, you know, the cult church buildings. I'm talking about churches that will say Jesus. Okay, you with me? And it can look like they have a powerful work going on. The building is gorgeous. They have a TV program. They're on TV stations all over. They're on networks. They're on satellite. They're on every radio station. And on it goes. All kinds of books are out there. All kinds of this. All kinds of that. I heard a story recently. I don't even remember who told me this. But I heard a story recently about a church that was looking for a pastor. And one of the things the church wanted to know about a particular individual was, how many books has this person written? Not, tell me about this person's spiritual walk, but how many books has this person written? Who cares? I want to know about their spiritual walk. Hey, did you know Jesus never wrote a book in his life? Now, we know that Jesus, as a member of the Godhead and all, you know, the scriptures given by inspiration of God, but you understand what I'm saying. Jesus never wrote a book in his life. A bunch has been written about him, but Jesus never wrote a book in his life. I would rather know the Jesus of the Bible than the writers of the Bible. Are you with me? Okay. Now, Paul, in verses 11 through 15, is saying, look, you got two people here. They're building their lives, and if you build it with right doctrine, you know, it's going to be tried. Notice both the right and the wrong are going to be tried with fire. In other words, we might be able to say it like this. Here's the truth, and here's what you preached. Now, this is a purging fire of holiness, and we're going to take what you preached, and we're going to put it back in the pages of the truth. And then we're going to close this book. And we're going to watch as smoke comes out from between the covers. And then we're going to open it back up. And if all we find is a pile of ashes, well, no reward for you, but at least you make it in. But if we open it back up and we find pages identical to the ones that were already in here, oh, are you going to get rewarded? Paul is warning about wrong doctrine here. But then he goes on and changes gears a little bit in verses 16 and 17. And he starts talking about destruction. He says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now, what in the world could cause this destruction? This word defile, what's interesting is that the word, in verse 17, the word defile and the word destroy are the exact same Greek word. Exact same Greek word. And so he's saying, if any man defiles or destroys, discredits, scraps, spoils, brings to decay the temple of God, then God is going to destroy him. Now, this is one of the most powerful warnings in all of Scripture. Because this is telling us it's not just a matter of somebody getting off base. It's not just a matter of somebody doing something stupid. It's a matter of somebody doing something so wrong and so bad they have gotten God's attention to the point to where He will step in on that day of judgment. And that person thinking they're headed for rewards, not only will they lose their rewards, but they are going to be destroyed. This is a powerful thing. What is it, though, that could cause this to happen? Or in other words, what is it that I could do that could defile the temple of God? What is it I could do that could bring about me being in a position of facing this destruction? Well, Paul has already told us what it could be. Now, let's look in here. How could we defile this? How could we destroy it? Verse 10. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now remember, he's already used the illustration of constructing or building. You are the building of God. Jesus is the foundation and so forth. And he's saying, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, or how you build your life, or another way, as we've already said it, what doctrine you use to build your spiritual life on. Now, how in the world does this building take place? Well, it's through the teaching. Verse 1. I, brethren, could not speak or teach to you as spiritually mature, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I, the master builder, have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Okay? They can handle meat. In other words, these guys are so messed up spiritually that they're not growing. They're spinning their wheels. But what has happened is this. They've gotten their eyes, now listen closely, they've gotten their eyes off of the doctrine of the master builder, and they've gotten their eyes onto other people, and they are following other people and the doctrines that these other people are delivering unto them. And Paul's trying to correct this situation by saying, look, you guys started off on the foundation of Jesus Christ. I am a master builder. I came to you before, and I preached and I taught to you truth. However, you guys have gotten off that track, and instead of following the path that I laid before you as a master builder, you have deviated off of that, and now you're starting to follow other people that would exalt themselves in your midst. Somebody could say, well, now, Brother Martin, are you sure that what he's talking about here in verses 16 and 17, this defiling, are you sure he's talking about teaching? Oh, yeah, and I'll show it to you here in just a moment. See, what I could do as a builder, what I could do is stand up and say, yes, Jesus, but this over here. Oh, you got to start off with Jesus, yeah. But if you want to be a completed Christian, you got to go back under the works of the law. Yes, Jesus. However, if you cut your hair, you're going to hell. So you better not cut your hair. In other words, yes, Jesus, but your salvation is guaranteed by uncut hair. Oh, yeah, Jesus. You start off with Jesus. However, if you wear a necktie, men, you better understand that the point of that necktie down there at the very end is it's pointing people to hell. It's an arrow that's pointing to hell. So if you wear a necktie, you're pointing people to hell instead of pointing people to Jesus. I'm not making this up. Gary Carpenter encountered this in a church he walked into, and they made him take his tie off. Yeah, you start off with Jesus. However, you better not wear this jewelry. Because if you wear jewelry, then you're trying to draw attention to that fleshly temple, and you're going to go to hell. So therefore, yeah, Jesus, you better accept Jesus, but your salvation or your eternity in heaven is guaranteed by what you don't wear around your neck, hang from your ears, or put on your fingers. Do you see what I'm saying here? Now those are examples. So Paul is saying, look, the foundation is Jesus, but take heed how you build thereupon. Because if you start building your Legos one Lego at a time off to the right, then eventually there's going to be a collapse. How could you get to that point? If I'm the one that's standing up here putting those Legos on you off to the right, one Lego at a time. If I hand them to you and I say, all right, now, no, don't put that one like that. But you need to put it one little peg over to the right. And here is this one. No, you put that one peg over to the right. And here, this one peg over to the right. You put the peg of your church attendance over to the right by saying you can't go to church any other day of the week but on Saturday. And if you go to church any other day of the week but on Saturday, you're missing God and you are destined for hell. That teaching is out there. They start you off with Jesus, but then they point you away from Him through their doctrines. So what happens is you get your eyes off of the foundation of Jesus and your eyes onto a doctrine that's not pointing you to Him. Do you follow me? Now, let me show you this to you, how that we know Paul is talking about teaching as being the thing that can defile the temple of God. Let's start in verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. God, guys, let this sink in. These verses 16 and 17. You know, you can read through this and just, you know, go on through to get your Bible reading for the day done or whatever it is that you do, and the impact of these two verses may not sink in. Paul is saying, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Well, okay, Paul, that sounds pretty good, but could you explain that? Because I'm not really sure I know what you mean by that. He says, sure, no problem, I'll explain it to you. Keep reading with verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Do you see this? Let no man glory in men. In other words, don't base your faith on what another man is telling you. Base your faith on the foundation. Base your faith where you started, on Jesus Christ. Let no man glory in men. Listen, I can tell you this. If Jim Jones had preached what we're hearing tonight, those 900 people would still be alive today. But he got them off and they gloried in him. He started putting the Legos one peg to the right. And the collapse took place down in Guyana. Now look at this. Let's just pick it up in chapter 4. He says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. What mysteries? Chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. He says, let a man so account of us as master builders, as ministers of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Or another way to say this is, listen, if you're going to compare what's being taught, what we say compared to what these other people you're following are saying, let me tell you this, let me remind you of this. I am, Paul, I am a master builder, and those people that travel with me, you should consider us as ministers of Christ, stewards of the mysteries. Well, essentially, this word mysteries means everything pertinent and relative to who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, what it means to be born again, what it means to conform to the image of Christ. Everything that is available to us through salvation that was not available to the saints of old because they could not be born again. Nobody could until Jesus came along. And so he says, look, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, now look at the second verse. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. This second verse right here, it's not just a matter of, well, faithful in church attendance and faithful to your responsibilities. It's faithful to the mysteries. Moreover, a steward must be faithful. Faithful to what? Faithful to the truth. If you're not faithful to the truth, you're going to be faithful to a deception. You're going to be faithful to a wrong doctrine. All right, let's continue. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. All right, what's he telling you there in that verse, in that statement? He's telling you that the people in Corinth were judging him based upon the doctrines they were hearing from other people. Well, we hear what these other guys say and what these other guys preach. Paul doesn't preach that. I don't know if he's a man of God or not anymore. He's telling you what's going on there in this church. That I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified by he that judgeth me is the Lord. In other words, I know where I'm going to stand someday, and I know I'm going to stand before God, and I know he's going to be my judge, and I let him be my judge. I receive from him what I teach, and I know that that is going to stand on the day of judgment. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then every man shall have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against the other. He is telling them, listen guys, look back up here in this verse 5. He says that judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Remember what he just said earlier in this chapter about the fire of God and about the trying that's going to take place. In other words, there are a lot of people that are deceiving, ministers, teachers, that are deceiving people in the body of Christ. And Paul is saying, listen, the day's going to come, this deception is going to be made manifest. Now, let me just kind of give you a variation on the theme. It's to our benefit if we find out what is and is not deception now, before we get to heaven. Again, don't just take what I teach to you. Don't just run out of here accepting it and live by it. You search the Scriptures and you pray in the Spirit and you let the Holy Ghost confirm or deny whatever I preach or teach. Because you're going to stand before God, not before me. You've got to be right. And you be right by being in the Word and being in the presence of the Lord. Now, he says here, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself, to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against the other. So what's he saying here? Well, that's kind of fancy King Jamesy kind of stuff. But in essence, what he's saying is, get your eyes off man and get your eyes on God. Stop exalting each other because you think they're teaching good doctrine. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't get your eyes onto men. And what do we see in the body of Christ today? I'll paraphrase, okay? I am of Hagen. I am of Copeland. I am of Graham. I am of this. You see what I'm saying? I am of the Baptist. I am of the Methodist. I am of the Nazarene. I am of... Can you imagine the kind of things Paul would write to some of the churches today? So are you people nuts? You started off on Jesus. How are you going to know if what's right or what's right and what's wrong? How will you know? There's only one way to know. The Spirit of Truth, praise God. That is the only way to really know. It's the Spirit of Truth. Everybody's got a Bible, but isn't the Bible twisted to formulate whatever doctrines come out? But I guarantee you this, the Holy Ghost twists nothing. But boy, He'll set you on the right path. That's why I talk so much about praying in tongues. Because it enables the Holy Spirit to work with you to help you stay on the right path. To stay on the foundation and not get your Legos off too far on the right. So you don't collapse. The Holy Spirit will be there. He's always there. And I'll tell you what. You know, let me, I'll throw this out. We'll close here. There's more. We'll get it next time. Try this sometime, right before you go to sleep, lay in bed, pray in tongues, not out loud, about this loud. Hear that? No. Okay, that, about that loud, but it was coming out. If you'd have had your lips right up, or your lips, your ear, don't you put your lips up against my lips. You put your ear right up here next to my lips. You would have heard, but just barely. Try doing that some night before you drift off to sleep. And don't be surprised if during the night you don't have some kind of spiritual encounter with God. And don't be surprised if you don't wake up in the morning hearing God speaking to you. That's happened on numerous occasions. I mean, you'll wake up, you can wake up in the morning, wake up, or in the middle of the night, wake up, and you'll hear Him. You may even hear yourself in a conversation with Him. Your spirit talking to Him while the rest of you has been asleep. And I'm telling you, it is so wonderful when that happens. It's like, wow, I've been talking to God, didn't even know it. But He can work in you to correct doctrine in times like that. Whatever needs to be corrected, He can work in you to do that. Now, there's more here in 2 Corinthians that we're going to see the next time. And we'll probably review for just a few minutes to get people up to par, because there's some things we'll need to review in what we've seen tonight. And then carry on from that point. But right now, you go ahead and stand up.